This is the sound of summer for folks along the St. Lawrence River in Lake Ontario. The slosh of record high water. The windier, the worse the slosh, the more threatening to crush docks and boathouses. Water is closing marinas. So as this plays out in real time, we're trying to document this moment of flooding in the North Country. And you can help us by sending us photos or video. Send them to david@ncpr.org. Let us know who took them and where they were taken. Or paint us a picture in words and sound. Make a voice memo on your smartphone. All you have to do is just go to your recording app, your voice memo app, press record, say your first and last name, where you live, and describe what's happening right while you're standing there by the shoreline. Then press stop and send the recording to me, david@ncpr.org. So that's voice memos, photos, or video of the flooding where you live on Lake Ontario or the St. Lawrence River. Send it to david@ncpr.org. Thanks so much. We'll have the latest on the high water on today's Story of the Day.
Story of the Day is supported by the Au-Sable River Association, protecting wild brook trout and the cold water streams on which they depend. Learn more at ausableriver.org.
Hey, I'm David Summerstein. It's Tuesday, June 4th. First up, New York would be the first state in the country to ban the declawing of cats under legislation headed to a vote in the state legislature. The Senate and Assembly were both expected to take up the bill this afternoon. Declawing a cat is already illegal in much of Europe, as well as in Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Denver. Supporters of a ban in New York include animal welfare advocates, cat owners, and veterinarians who argue the practice is cruel and barbaric, since it involves the amputation of a cat's toes back to the first knuckle. The state's largest veterinary association has opposed the bill. It says the procedure should be allowed as a last resort for felines that won't stop scratching furniture or humans. People who live along Lake Ontario and the St. Lawrence River are contending with increasing flooding, particularly when the wind becomes a factor. According to the International Lake Ontario St. Lawrence River Board, the water will likely rise gradually over the next several days and is expected to peak within 1 to 3 weeks. As of Monday, the Lake Ontario level was just over the record set 2 years ago, in 2017. Meanwhile, Lakes Erie and Superior are also at record highs, and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers predicts Huron and Michigan could also set new records this summer. In other words, it's been a record wet spring across the Great Lakes, and that will continue into the summer. And that means weeks and months of worry for people with shoreline property on Lake Ontario, on the St. Lawrence River. High water has already crept over lawns and into homes. It's shut down entire streets and slowed the start of the tourism season. In early May, one of our reporters, Emily Russell, visited Robert Carlyle at his family's cottage in St. Lawrence County. So Emily checked back in with Carlyle yesterday.
The last time I went to see Robert Carlyle at his family's cottage in Morristown, the water was just a couple inches above his docks. Today, it's a lot higher.
The outer higher portion of the dock now is almost up to your knee, and the waves would make it up to your hips.
Carlyle went out to check on his cottage yesterday. He sent back a video. In it, you can see waves breaking against his boathouse. The docks have completely disappeared underwater. Carlyle says it was really choppy out there yesterday.
One of the greatest concerns at this point is wind and how that will increase the forces of the water against both the dock and structures on it.
After the record high flooding in 2017, Carlyle did try to prepare for more high water. He raised his dock several inches. It wasn't enough.
But as far as raising things up 2 or 3 feet, which would really be what it would take to use the property as we were able to the last 27 years, that would be a significant cost. And we're not even sure what type of plan it would be to resolve these issues. And it would be probably more expensive than we would be able to afford.
Shore owners all along the St. Lawrence River and Lake Ontario are asking these same questions. If this is the new normal, what should they do and where will they find the money to pay for it? Carlisle says that uncertainty leaves people feeling helpless.
There's not much we can do about it except hope for the best and wait for the level to go down.
That likely won't happen anytime soon, though. A forecast released yesterday predicts that Lake Ontario flood levels could keep rising for another 3 weeks. Emily Russell, North Country Public Radio.
Emily and Martha Foley are going to talk a little bit more about this situation now. Emily's been monitoring chatter on social media.
So I've been following what's essentially a fan page for the Thousand Islands on Facebook. It's got more than 12,000 members, and people are mostly posting photos of sunsets and big boats on the river. But in the last month, it's just been this constant stream of chatter and photos about the high water levels. I put a call out yesterday in the group for comments about what people on the water have been seeing. I heard from a woman whose family camp is on Wellesley Island, that's near Alexandria Bay, and she says her plumbing has been affected. Their leach field has gotten so saturated with river water that that water is actually coming up into the septic tank. I also heard from a former New York State Assemblyman, Sean Hanna. He's got an island property right in the heart of the Thousand Islands near Bolt Castle. He says he's had to wear hip waders just to get in and out of his boat. That's something I've heard from a lot of people. And Hannah says big waves from tour boats and ships are slamming into his boathouse.
You know, I saw a post from a friend on Grindstone Island with pictures. That's just off Clayton, New York. He was just desperate to find a few heavy barrels to actually hold his dock down in place. So people really are scrambling. I'm assuming that the weather is keeping recreational boating down, but people are out on the river. They are opening up their cottages, and you mentioned the tour boats, and that really does just add to the threat of the water that the docks and boathouses are facing.
Yeah, that's right. So windy weather and big waves are huge fears during flooding like this. The Thousand Islands Association is a nonprofit in the area. They know wake on them, so encouraging boaters to really slow down. Yeah. And actually, the mayor of a major township leads in Lansdowne on the Canadian side. She's been pushing to get temporary no wake zone put in place there until the water levels drop.
Right, there are those signs from the Thousand Islands Association. I don't know if it was one of their signs, but I actually saw a no wake warning along the highway coming off the American side of the Ogdensburg-Prescott Bridge, getting to boaters before they've even launched their boats. And New York State has declared a no-wake emergency in many areas. So we're talking about the Canadian side, the American side. I think it's important to note that there are well over 1,000 islands in the Thousand Islands, and they are mostly very well inhabited, as most of the lakeshore beyond the islands. That means a lot of people. I know this hits home for you, Emily, right?
Yeah, it does. I've been going to the Thousand Islands all my life. My family's had a place over on the Canadian side for more than 50 years. And like a lot of the islanders I've been chatting with, we have docks and a boathouse. And Martha, I'm still trying to figure out right now how to rebuild if this kind of thing keeps happening.
Yeah, we talk about the new normal and we just don't know. Aquadams along Lake Ontario, hundreds of thousands of sandbags have been deployed and wind pushing the water one way or the other all along the river and Lake Ontario.
It's Martha Foley and Emily Russell. We'd like you to help us document the flooding on the St. Lawrence River and Lake Ontario. And there are three ways. Send us a photo or send us a video. Email it to david@ncpr.org. Let us know who took it and where it was taken. Or describe what's happening in a voice memo. Record your first and last name on your smartphone. Tell us where you are and describe away. Pretend you're like a public radio reporter and send the recording to me, david@ncpr.org. Thanks so much for helping us document. We'll have all the results available soon online at ncpr.org. Music today by Jared Stephen Doyle and Audio Binger. I'm David Summerstein, North Country Public Radio.